The following is a Hoop Ball presentation.
Hoop Ballers! Welcome back to another episode of Today in Sports Betting. I'm your host, Ira Silver, at Ira Silver Magic on Twitter. It is Friday afternoon, and I got my main man, John Ryan, with me. John Ryan Sports 1 on Twitter. John, what's up, man? How are you today? How happy Friday?
Hey, happy Friday to you too, Ira. I'm doing great. Looking forward to the weekend. Just positively can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one. We got finally, you know, things have been slow this week. Just a little bit of baseball, no Thursday football in the NFL, just a couple college games to look at. So we'll have some stuff to talk about today on today's episode regarding some best bets and some games we're looking at and diving in deeper regarding the NCAA football lines and NFL. So that'll be fun. Maybe we'll give out a little teaser or two. We do have to get to baseball because there are some games. There are two games today. Before we get into that, just want to remind everybody this podcast is brought to you by Manscaped.com with their new and improved Lawnmower 3.0 with their water-resistant technology. Go over to Manscaped.com, type in the promo code HOOPBALL20, that's HOOPBALL20 at Manscaped.com, and you will get 20% off and free shipping. Once again, HOOPBALL20 is the promo code, 20% off free shipping. I love mine. Go pick one up today. John, let's kick it off with some baseball today. We got the Houston Astros winning the last two here, making the series a little interesting. We got Blake Snell on the mound for the Rays today, and Valdez on the mound, the lefty, for the Astros. Lefty on lefty battle here today. Rays are minus 135, Astros plus 115, over under 8 runs, minus 110 to both sides. Can you give us a little insight into this game and maybe something you're looking at?
Well, the one thing that stuck out big after Tampa Bay went up 3-0 was it reminded me of the 2004 Red Sox. And we all know what happened there, unless you've never seen the movie Fever Pitch, but I'm sure we all have watched that. And there's four teams that have actually come back to win the first game. In other words, they come back and win game four. There's only one team that's come back and won game four and five, and Houston is now the second. So there's limited data on that in terms of what's going to happen that can give us any meaning. But Houston is not the 2004 Red Sox either. They don't have the pitching rotation that the Red Sox had in place to pull off that amazing comeback. And Tampa Bay is a fundamentally sound team that just happened to lose two games by the same score of 4-3. So they haven't been blown out in them. And they did have chances to win last night. I think the Astros season ends tonight. I would be on Tampa Bay. I do have a couple things here out of the database. So we have Tampa Bay's 25-7 when playing against a marginal winning team the last three seasons. And marginal means anywhere from 50 to 55%. And Houston is exactly 50% now in the season, having won the last two games to get there. And it's interesting, too, that this is the most games in the last 20 years that Houston has played with a 500 record. So that reflects that they haven't been able to get those 5 and 6, 7 game win streaks going. And they win two, they lose two. They win one, they lose two. They win two, lose one. So I think the fact that they won two and the way their season has gone this year is another reason that supports Tampa Bay to move on to the World Series.
Yeah, I like Tampa Bay tonight as well. Minus 135, closeout game with Snell on the mound here against the Astros. Next game on the board, I don't see any pitchers listed yet. I got the Dodgers versus the Braves. Dodgers look like they're minus $2 around the internet here. Braves plus 170, over under 9.5. Man, I took the Dodgers to come back and win the series plus 180 after being down two games to nothing. They really blew it last night with Clayton Kershaw on the mound. Mr. October turns into a pumpkin or something. Not really sure. Did not pitch that great and the Braves rout the Dodgers last night, take a 3-1 victory. Any indication that the Dodgers can come back and win this series? And do you have anything on tonight's game?
Well, here you have a situation as compared to the last one with Houston. Is Dodgers are the best offensive team this year, scoring 5.8 runs per game. So they certainly have the offense to make the comeback and win three in a row. You're right about Kershaw. It's amazing that he's in the Hall of Fame for sure. But when he gets into October, for whatever reason, things sometimes, or more times than not, don't work out. And last night was one of them. I think it was the sixth inning where they got to him, and then it just came unglued. Up to then, he had managed to work through some difficult situations, but they finally got to him in the sixth. So, yeah, the Dodgers bullpen is in great shape to win three games in a row. But they have to get an excellent start from Derek May, I think, is going tonight. And I saw, I guess, talk that Tomlinson was going for the Braves. And that's why we're seeing a line of that's even higher than last night's game with Kershaw on the hill.
Yeah, I see that. I think the Dodgers, Dustin May will start for the Dodgers. No decision yet in Atlanta as of right now.
That's right. It's Dustin May, not Derek. The situation for the Dodgers is, you know, it's dumb to even say it's a must-win game. It's obviously a must-win game. Their line is 2-1 favorites for the second game in a row, and in the playoffs, no team has ever lost back-to-back games installed as a -200 or more favorite. So that clearly works in the favor of the Dodgers. The Dodgers are also on a pretty decent system that does bet on favorites. You had to play against any team that's a good National League scoring team, averaging 5 runs a game or more, and going up against a team that has a good bullpen with an ERA of 3.50 or less. And we all know the Dodgers' pen is pretty good. And with the game taking place in October. So this might have been one that I mentioned the last time we were on the show, or maybe it was on Tuesday's show, that was similar, that it was the month of October, and it was a play-against situation and had the similar parameters. So I hate laying big wood. I was on the Dodgers last night, and it didn't work out. It was a bad bet, and easy to say now that I shouldn't have made it. But tonight, you know, I can't take the run line either, because this game could be a 4-3 final, and then you don't cover that either. So unless you're really willing to lay more than 2-1 on this game, it's probably a sit back and watch, or maybe you just do half a bet on the Dodgers.
Yeah, or maybe Dodgers to win the series again. Who knows? But that's kind of some angles to take a look at. Maybe sprinkle a little bit on the alternative line at -2.5, like we've talked about before in the show. But anyways, I digress. Let's move on to some football, because that is what the people want. Let's maybe touch upon, you have any thoughts on either of tonight's game? We got SMU versus Tulane, SMU -7, or BYU -4.5 at Houston. Any thoughts on those two games, or you want to skip to Saturday?
I actually have a pretty strong play on SMU tonight. For the subscription service, it's actually a 7-star play. The top play I give out is 10, which are similar to game of the month or game of the year without the hype. And SMU is a strong play here. When I first looked at this game early in the week, I was surprised that SMU wasn't favored by 10 or 11. You have a ranked team going against a team that is 2-2 and you know, has had periods of time where they really played poorly. They're still trying to find their way on offense with only 5 returning starters. And the 6.5 kind of made me think that the bet would be on Tulane, but upon further review and running my models, and you know, thanks to the smarts of the machine learning tools, it's definitely a strong play on SMU. So when I say a 7-star, if you're a $50 a game better, that's exactly what you bet. 7-star is your normal game that you like a lot. And a 10-star is 30% more than a 7. So So that would put a 10 star up around like $65 bet or 70. So this game is a 7, and it has I'm sure it has a system here. You're going to play against home teams that are scoring 35 or more points per game and are coming off a loss of 17 or more points. So this underscores what I said in the very beginning of my first couple of sentences with this game, is the inconsistency of Tulane's offense. I'm looking at bringing up their game log now, and they have scored 31, 24, and 27. So the reason they're scoring more than 30 points is simply because they scored 66 at Southern Miss in their 66-24 win 2 weeks ago. So if you draw a line through that game, they're kind of an average offensive team against below average opponents. SMU is ranked 17th in the country, and for good reason. So that disparity right there clearly makes SMU the preferred choice, in my opinion.
All right, SMU by a touchdown. That is a bona fide play right there. I kind of like Houston tonight against this BYU team. BYU didn't really look all that impressive last week to me against UTSA, only winning by a touchdown. I know that it was a little bit not – it was not as close as that final score indicates, but BYU, you know, they really haven't had a test. Tonight they're going to be facing Houston with a pretty high-octane offense there. And I like Houston plus the 4.5. Any thoughts for you on that game?
I would be on that game too. There's been much media attention drawn to Houston, only playing their first and second game in the last 2 weeks. But I think they forget that on offense they have 10 returning starters from last season, including the quarterback. And that's a very positive thing. That gave me no hesitation in backing them if they were a bet. Because they have all that experience behind them. They have the whole entire offensive line coming back, and that's a huge plus. So there's really no, warm-up period or a learning curve for this offense. And they were good last year, and they go out of the gate 49-31 against those Tulane Green Waves. Like they had played three games previous.
Yeah, and it's also good. Something to point out is that Houston, you know, even though they've played only a couple games or whatever, but they have a ton of tape on BYU. So whereas BYU doesn't have a ton of tape on them.
That's quite true, yeah.
So that's kind of why I like Houston tonight, plus the 4.5. John, I know there was a couple games you and I wanted to discuss on the NCAA Saturday football slate. I'll throw it to you at this first game. I know you were on opposite sides here. I haven't bet it yet, but I'm definitely leaning in that direction, and that is Kentucky catching 6.5 on the road in Tennessee against the Volunteers. Volunteers minus 6.5 here, over under 45.5. You like the Volunteers here minus the 6.5, and, you know, while Tennessee had spurts of brilliance, you know, in a couple big plays last week against the Bulldogs. I was on Tennessee last week. Didn't work out for me so much. They had that defensive touchdown with the missed snap early in the game by Georgia. They had a couple weird plays where they only had to throw the ball, you know, a couple big plays where got a couple touchdowns. And now we're looking at a Kentucky defense that, you know, pretty similar in their defense in terms of lockdown defense, you know, here, like the Bulldogs. And they're going to go up against this Tennessee team where the quarterback is decent, but he definitely looked a little rattled last week against this Georgia Bulldogs defense. I think Kentucky's going to take some notes here from last week's game and bring some pressure against this quarterback. He seems a little unsure when he's up against pressure. And that's why I'm leaning Kentucky plus the 6.5. I know you're on the other side. Let us hear why.
Well, the history has been dominated by the Volunteers. They've won 36 of the last 40 meetings with the Wildcats, going 29-10-1 against the spread. At 74%, that goes all the way back to 1981. More recently, the Volunteers are 7-2 straight up, 8-0-1 push, the last 9 meetings with the Wildcats. So that gives you a little history lesson. It doesn't really give you much betting intelligence, but let's continue on here. I think the biggest news I saw actually occurred on Sunday, less than 24 hours after that game was over. The Volunteers had a team practice, and it was a scrimmage. And I can't pronounce his name right. It's Jared Guarantano.
The quarterback.
Yeah. He struggled, as you said, especially in the second half. The game stats don't look that bad, 23 for 36 for 64%, 215 yards. But what was below average was the yards per pass attempt at 5.97, so essentially six. And that's a tribute to the Bulldogs' strong defense. No question, they did have him rattled in the second half. So on Sunday, I read that the backup quarterback, Harrison Bailey, took all 50 snaps in that scrimmage. Now, the head coach came out on Monday's press conference and said that Guarantano is still his quarterback, still the team leader. But it does bring into light the fact that if Guarantano struggles again in this game, that he may have a quick hook and Harrison Bailey comes in. And that's actually, I consider, not a negative necessarily, because now the team has practiced with both quarterbacks. So it could be a situation where both quarterbacks see action and Guarantano gets 75% of the snaps and they let Bailey or Harrison Bailey come in on certain situations to keep the defense off stride a bit. And Kentucky's defense was supposed to be a lot better than what they've showed so far, and I think they have the potential to do that. And, you know, Ira, I always say I can be totally wrong on this game in liking the Volunteers, and if I'm wrong, I think it's going to be that Kentucky defense that comes to life and takes advantage of Guarantano if he's still rattled from the Georgia game.
Yeah, absolutely. Give me the Wildcats all day plus the 6.5 here in this matchup. I don't like what I've seen out of Guarantano, however you pronounce his name. And I think Kentucky gets it right on defense. Last week's meeting, I believe they only gave up 2 points. So I'm good with Kentucky here in this matchup, and I'm going to stick by it. I'm going to lay it down at plus the 6.5. Hopefully it gets to 7 by the time I bet it and I get a full touchdown. I know you wanted to talk about one other game, so let's get to it. And John's got some good data for us in this game, so it might surprise some of you or it might not. And that is the Georgia Bulldogs plus 4.5 against Alabama. Alabama minus 4.5 here. We got Nick Saban testing positive for COVID. This line's come down. It opened, I believe, at 6. It's down to 4.5 now. John, give us your reasons why you like the Georgia Bulldogs this week.
Well, it seems like Alabama has regressed a bit here this year, and that's they're still a very good team. Don't get me wrong. That defense has given up a ton of points, and last week's 48 points to Mississippi matched Saban's previous high as the coach of Alabama. You know, moreover, he's in a high scoring affair, which is not typical of seasons past with Alabama. It's usually them scoring 50 and the opponent scoring 13. So with Georgia's defense being so impressive. And actually, statistically, if you saw my charts, Georgia is really the only formidable defense in the entire SEC right now. There's been no other season that I've seen in the last 20 that defenses in the SEC have been giving up points at this kind of rate. And you and I have talked about this before. I think it's because there's no fans in the stands. The visiting team has no problem on third downs, changing the play, doing audibles, you know, even making false audible signals. There's no home field advantage really other than the home field. So I'm in the NFL too, there's no limited fans, but the scoring is up. So this is the one time that I think that Georgia really does have a chance to go in there and win the game straight up. Coach Saban, as you said, it's COVID-19. We all hope he's going to do well with that. I was surprised to learn that they're going to play the game.
They are.
I heard the news, and it was right after I got done another show, and I had just put out an announcement that it was a 10-star play, which are the strongest ones I can get from the machine learning tools. And they, you know, they generally hit between the high 60s and low 70% in any given season over the last 10 years. And I always warn people, because I don't want to blow smoke up, you know, anybody's you-know-what ever, that that also means that this thing can lose 30 to 35% of the time. And I'm not going to ever say to you or anybody else that, oh, man, this Georgia's a lock. They're going to win. And you don't even have to watch the game. Because I think that's pretty foolish to do. But this is a team that really showed last week being down 21-17 and then scoring 27 unanswered, and Tennessee couldn't do a thing. And maybe that is the quarterback's fault, but this defense statistically is by far the best one in the SEC.
I'll agree
with
that.
That's what you need to – I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said I agree with that for sure.
And that's what you need to go into Tuscaloosa and come away with a win. If you try to go head-to-head with them, you know, with haymaker after haymaker, you're going to lose. So I did a little research on Saban, too, as a coach of Alabama. And believe it or not, as a home favorite of 7 or less points, he is 0-5 against the spread and 0-5-1 against the spread, I'm sorry, and then 1-5 straight up. So that really sticks out as support to bet the Bulldogs. The other thing is we have a system here too, a set of parameters that lines up. Let's scroll down and find it here quick. All right, Georgia, this is a 72%er, 30-year system. Underdogs of 3.5 to 10 points. They're off a win of 10 or more to a conference rival, and is now facing an opponent that is off a road game where both teams scored 30 or more points. So again, that's pointing out Alabama being in that unbelievable game against Mississippi, where obviously both teams scored more than 31 points. Georgia's a 4.5 point underdog right now, and they're coming off a win of more than 10 points to a conference rival named Tennessee. So this is a rare one, but it's very strong. 73 plays over 30 years. So it's like 2 a year that this thing pops up. And that's just another piece of the handicapping process that I go through that supports this play. So it's not just, we're not just making this play because of a betting system or because of Saban. We're making it because of the whole body of research that time and time again has supported Georgia in this game.
I love it. It's like a big soup and you have all these little ingredients and now we're making the soup and that soup's going to be delicious. And that supports the Georgia Bulldogs this week plus the 4.5 and maybe even an outright victory at plus 160. That should be interesting to see. There was one other game I wanted to talk about, and this is a game that I'm on, and that's South Carolina. I bet South Carolina plus 3 even. Auburn, just not, in my opinion, just not that good. I don't know why they're laying points right now on the road, and I don't understand how they're even ranked, you know. And Bo Nix is horrible. Can you walk me through this? Do you have anything to say about this game? I'm on South Carolina.
Well, I don't have a lean one way or the other, but I have a lot of data on the game. I think the problem with the Tigers looking so bad is that they're kind of decimated with injuries. I read an article out of the Auburn local newspaper this week that said as Bo Nix walked out to the center of the 50-yard line for the coin toss, he was the only one. Well, we know the COVID rules, you can only have one player out there. But even if it wasn't there, the four captains, he was the only one that was able to play. So he still would have been the only one out there. So of the four captains, he played, and then the running back, Sean John Rivers, he's injured with a leg injury. And then their defensive tackle, who's so good, his name is Big Cat Bryant. He could be back in the lineup this week, which would be a huge plus against that run attack from the Gamecocks. And the Tigers' defensive leader, at least in my opinion, KJ Britt, is still on the injury list, and he didn't practice at all the entire week. I think it almost is amazing that the Tigers played as well as they did, and it's because they're so deep in those positions. And they have a true freshman named Tank Bigsby. He's the running back that took over for the captain. And he had a great game. He runs downhill, and he is very physical. He gained 146 yards last game. And he just destroys anybody who tries to tackle him. He was very impressive. So I think they have all these, plug and play to hold up the dam from breaking. And I don't know if that excuses Bo Nix's performance, though, as you pointed out. I mean, he's been arguably worse than last year as a freshman.
Yep.
So that does make you very leery to take a road favorite here going into South Carolina.
I'm on the Gamecocks.
And you're on the Gamecocks, and I can't talk you out of it. I can't say that that's the wrong side, that's for sure.
All right. Well, let's go Gamecocks, the USC of the East, as I like to call them. Go Gamecocks, go Trojans. Let's talk a little NFL real quick before we get off here. We've got some interesting matchups. I'm having a tough time picking some games here. The line seems so ridiculously tight to me. There are a couple games that I do like. I'll throw it out to you right now. You can kind of agree, disagree, give me some data, and then we'll jump to a couple games you like. First game that piqued my interest here was San Francisco 49ers +3.5 at home against the Rams. I like the 49ers here in this game +3.5. Look-ahead line was 6, I believe. I mean, sorry, the look-ahead line was San Francisco -3. It's now moved to +3.5. It's a huge swing. I don't think 49ers are as bad as everyone thinks after getting shellacked last week by the Dolphins. And I don't think the Rams are that good. I really don't. And I like this 49ers team to come back. Garoppolo looks healthy. He's practiced this week. I like the 49ers in this one to win the game. I will also be playing the +3.5 for more units, but a little sprinkle on the money line there. I'll get your thoughts on that in a second. Just want to throw out the other two games that look interesting to me. And that's Tampa Bay Buccaneers +1.5 at home against the Green Bay Packers. Listen, this Packers team is definitely lethal on offense. They have some good pieces that have been playing good on defense as well. But the Bucs here, I mean, this is like reverse line movement if I've never seen it before. The Green Bay Packers have all the tickets. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Seems like the money is coming in, the sharp money is coming in on the Bucs with this reverse line movement here. I'm going to go with the Bucs +1.5 here on Sunday at home. And the third game that I like is the Monday night game. And I know there were some Sharpies that took the Cowboys here +3 when it first came out, but I don't know about that. This defense has been hampered by injuries. Listen, Dalton is a capable quarterback. He's obviously had some moments of brilliance in the NFL, probably arguably the best backup quarterback in the league for the Cowboys. But I expect the Cardinals and Kyler Murray to roll on Monday night, and this is not even going to be a close one. I'm liking the Cardinals I might just take them on the money line here, -120. It's cheap enough. I don't have to lay the -1.5 here. Any thoughts about those three games before we jump to a couple that you like?
I'd like your call on the 49ers for sure. That's a game where I think you're right. It reminds me of the game with the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And in my opinion, at least looking at that game too, you have to wonder if the Steelers are as good as that record indicates. And the same thing with the Rams. The 49ers at 2-3 are almost a desperate team by definition now, and they can't afford to go to 2-4. There's only so many games in the season, and the further you drop down below that 500, it makes it that much harder to make it back to 500 and then hopefully get into the playoffs. So the pressure is really on the 49ers to come through. I guess Garoppolo is playing, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I've heard. Yeah.
So it is amazing line movement that the betting behavior has moved the line this much in favor of the road team.
Well, you know, the Rams look good in the last couple games, and the 49ers just lost at home to the Dolphins. They got killed
exactly
by the Dolphins.
Right. I mean, that's the human betting psyche from
recency
1 week to
bias.
The next.
Yeah, recency bias.
And that's why, you know, the years and years of study that I've had in this and then trading markets on Wall Street all those years, and it creates up situations where, you know, market tops are created when everybody's bullish and market bottoms are created when nobody wants to buy one share of stock. And we're all pretty smart human beings for the most part. You know, it's just amazing to me that when the herd is all on one side, a lot of times the opposite happens. So in this case, clearly everybody is on the Rams. The 49ers stink. Like you said, they lost to the Dolphins. My God.
How bad are they, right?
Right.
It's Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett. Be greedy when people are fearful and fearful when people are greedy. So I'm going to go with I'm going to be greedy when people are fearful and lay the hammer down with the 49ers.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Any thoughts for you on the Pax-Bucks game with this reverse line movement?
Here again, it's hard for me to even get my hands around the idea of Tampa Bay being a home.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Underdog.
It may, huge, just makes no huge sense reverse line movement. Huge.
Yeah. It's just, again, it's irrational human betting behavior. And the reason it's irrational is because all the money that ended up on the Packers, this thing's running slow to pull it up. It's going to be like 2 more seconds here and I'll have it up. Let's see. So, yeah, the offensive stats, everybody knows Green Bay is number one in just about all of them. Dallas was right on their heels. With Prescott being out, that's probably – that gap is probably going to widen. But even the best teams in the NFL have clunkers. And if there was ever going to be a clunker game here, it would be this one with the Packers. Having to be on the road, prime time, Tom Brady, you know, it doesn't matter who he has or what the name of the says on the back of the jersey for his teammates over the years. And he just finds a way to get it done. I mean, there's no like debating that issue. Tampa Bay is supported by a very strong system here of 74% winners over the last 35 years. So it's 40-13 against the spread. You know, play on underdogs, including Pick'em. They're off an upset loss as a road favorite, winning between 50-60% of their games on the season. I mean, that's about as simple a system as you can get. Upset loss, the road favorite, win percentage between 50-60%. And that's on the Bucks. 52% of these games have covered the spread by more than 7.5 points.
Also, John, something to point out here with the Green Bay Packers. Yes, they're first in the NFC North. Yes. They have won every game, but they played a Vikings team in week one that had new personnel. They played a Lions team in week two without Kenny Golladay. They played a Saints team in week number three without Michael Thomas. And they played a Falcons team in week number four with no Julio Jones. I mean, how many breaks do these guys get?
Well, obviously, they're getting all of them right now. But, you know, like I say so many times, these breaks even out over the course of the season. And there are, of course, those years that have, you know, are magical and everything goes right, like the Eagles season in 2017. I can't see this against a team that's good and deep on both sides of the ball that the Bucs are. And nobody talks about the defense at Tampa Bay, but they're a pretty good darn unit. You know, it's no smoke and mirrors with them. And they have been tested. And they have gone against teams that are completely healthy and some of the best teams in the league already, including the Saints. So I just sometimes when I'm too adamant like this, I make a mistake and, you know, and do get too rambunctious with a team that I think is going to win outright as a home dog. But if there ever was a game that I feel comfortable being like that, it's this one.
I love it, John. Thanks for supporting my pick with your systems. I appreciate it. There's a couple games I know you want to talk about, so why don't you fire away on us? What are those two games, and what do you see in those?
Eagles in Baltimore sticks out to me, too, and this is a contrarian play. And you know, if the Ravens win 40-3, everybody can, you know, I welcome the abuse on the Twitter feed. But this is just one of those games that sticks out to me that the Eagles somehow will pull it out of the hat and play well and cover the spread and maybe even take them down to the wire. It makes no sense to be saying that right now, given the Eagles' problems in the injury area, especially wide receiver. You know, for example, the Eagles have 12 players that are listed as questionable just for this game. 12. Alshon Jeffrey is still on that list, and he's limited. He was a limited participant in practices this week, including Wednesday. I didn't see what it was for yesterday. But even if he plays, you have to wonder what his effectiveness is going to be.
No, Deshaun.
Yeah, and Deshaun Jackson, the same thing. Avante Maddox, the same thing. Jalen Reagor, the rookie that I love, that they drafted in the first round. He's, you know, got this thumb injury that apparently is much worse than originally thought. He's on the injured reserve now. So my thinking is that, okay, Alshon Jeffrey can play, but these guys that have come in to play that are coming off the practice squad can probably play at a higher level because they're not injured. So if that's the case, then that's one of the reasons I like Wentz to finally have a good game and not make so many crazy mistakes that he's been making this year with the ball. He's not taking care of the ball. He's had a lot of fumbles. Fortunately, a lot of those fumbles have been recovered by Eagles. But like I said, if there was ever a game that seems to be completely off the reservation, it would be this one. And obviously nobody, I don't think anybody is really pumped up to take the Philadelphia Eagles right now. But a lot of my math models are saying that this home dog could be a live one and it could give Baltimore a lot of trouble. It's backed by a system where you're going to play against road favorites that are outscoring their opponents by 10 or more points per game and are coming off a win of double digits. So I call this one the 10-10 system. So at the NFL level, to be outscoring your opponents by 10 or more points after the fourth week is pretty rare. That's a dominating team. At the college level, it's very common. You know, dominating at the college level would be outscoring your opponents by 20 to 25 points per game. But in the NFL, this 10-10 is pretty good. You have 69 plays over 10 seasons, so you get about 7 opportunities on average every year. 40% of these plays have covered the spread by 7.5 or more. Coincidentally, I think the line is 7.5. So that brings to light the idea that if the Ravens don't play well in the first half and keep the Eagles around and they start believing that they can win the game, that's where you get the dangerous dog.
I'm seeing 8
so,
now.
So that's one game that I think kind of like here.
I'm seeing the Eagles 8 right now.
Yeah, but that makes sense to me because the public is going to bet Baltimore all the way up to game time.
And what's your other game that you're looking at here on the NFL slate?
Cleveland and Pittsburgh. And I think Cleveland's going to win this game outright. I have never been a staunch supporter of Baker Mayfield. But I guess I'm starting to believe now.
He did hurt himself in the last series of the game last week. It looks like a sprained AC joint to me.
Oh, wow. Was he able to practice this week?
He's going to play. He's going to play, but you got to question how effective he's going to be. Listen, I would have been all on the Browns myself. I would have been all in on them. I bet them every single week so far in my contest and with money and in teasers. But that injury, I mean, it looked pretty bad. I mean, look at him in the last go watch the game film, last 5 minutes of the game. He looked like he couldn't even throw the ball. It looked like it really hurt. I've had a bad AC joint myself playing basketball, a sprained one. That takes a while to recover. I mean, that AC joint injury is no joke. It's not something where you're going to get surgery or anything like that, but it takes a while for that thing to heal.
Yeah, I'm just looking this up because I have a Python scraper that pulls the injury reports and then highlights the starters. And I actually don't recall seeing him, so I wanted to make sure that that's working right, first of all.
He definitely has a Q in front of his name in my fantasy league, in my season-long fantasy league, I'll tell you that. And there are reports that he will play, but you got to question how effective he's going to be.
That's for sure. Interesting enough, the line really hasn't moved on that news either.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, that's an important thing to know.
You should go look at that. You should definitely go look at that because he got, I believe it was a sack. And he's saying it's his ribs, but I've looked at, you know, some doctors on Twitter, some football doctors. I believe Chow is his name. He said it looks like an AC joint injury to him with the way his arm was hanging down. So while he was trying to get it back in, Dr. David Chow at Pro Football Doc. You can go look it up there. He has an analysis on pretty much every injury around the NFL, and he definitely talks about Baker Mayfield's injury as well. So you got to think there's going to be some issues here for the Browns. That's kind of why I laid off this game, even though I kind of wanted to play the Browns. It's really something where I'm not comfortable playing them if he's hurt. And so just to quote Dr. Chow, he says, the Browns quarterback has a reported rib injury, but I continue to believe he has an AC joint component to the injury. He said he avoided more serious shoulder injury by rolling some as he hit the ground. I pointed out that a QB with a rib injury doesn't let his shoulder hang the way he did. During my regular Sirius XM appearance, former NFL QB Jim Miller added that QBs with rib injuries don't shake their arm like Baker did, but they do for a shoulder sprain. In any case, the Browns play a division rival. I do expect him to play. I don't see Mayfield missing it. He may need an injection of some sort. I expect him to be listed as questionable, but a full go. Listen, I've had that AC joint injury. That is really painful. Hard to shoot a basketball, and you got to imagine it's going to be hard to throw a football with that. I mean, you could see it in the last few minutes of the game. He's shaking his arm the whole time.
I just pulled the video up and just saw it while you were talking there. That's great information. That's what makes this dialogue so useful for me and hopefully the listeners too, that, you know, I'm looking at injury reports and you have this excellent resource.
And it brings to light something that I completely missed. I was also watching the game. So I had money on the game last week, a lot of it with the Browns. So when he got hit, I was like, oh no. You know, and it just didn't look good. So why don't we pass on that game for right now? I know you like the Browns, but I think you got to maybe look at that a little bit closer. I did have one other question for you, and maybe you can help me out here. And I'm trying to find 5 picks for my Super Contest. So, you know, one game I'm looking at is the Bengals-Colts game. And I kind of like me a little Bengals this week. Can you talk me into it or out to it? Can you talk me into it or out of it?
We're drinking out of the same whiskey jar, that's for sure, on this one. I think Cincinnati wins the game. I don't understand why this line is where it's at. Again, it's a reflection of the casinos trying to get a line that's going to have equal action on both sides. But it does reflect the sentiment that the betting public has for each team. And that's the most important takeaway of the whole line analysis. So it's Cincinnati here, 50, it's a little bit higher than half is going to the Bengals, but 78% of the money.
I'm seeing 81% of the money on Cincinnati.
Yeah, that's even higher than what I have. So that's in the same ballpark. The Colts defense was advertised as being a juggernaut, you know, up there with the other traditional defensive teams of the NFL. But I truly have not seen it yet. Let me just pull up the initial projections for this game and see what we get here. Because I think the pivot—I call them pivot points in the NFL. It's generally 24 points scored. If a team scores more than 24, it usually results in a favorable straight up and ATS win more times than not. And conversely, under is the opposite. In college football, it's 28 points. So let's see. We have Cincinnati and the Colts.
And I'll let you get to your system in 1 second, but I mean, you got to think that the Bengals are going to bounce back here. I mean, they played a really, really rough game against the Ravens where Burrow did not look good at all. But I really think this Colts team isn't as elite as the Ravens defense is. I mean, listen, they're good, but that type of defense, I think Burrow can really handle. Like, they're not like super getting tons of pressure on the quarterback in terms of sacks and things like that. Especially, I mean, at least that's what I saw last week against the Browns. I think Burrow's going to be able to roll out of the pocket, make some throws on the run. And I think the Bengals definitely, like you said, have a chance to win this game. I don't really understand why this line is so big other than the fact they're trying to get 50-50 action on the game.
Yeah. And I have a system that underscores what you just said, you know, the bounce back factor that we think Burrow and the Bengals will come back from the loss. And you know, this is another game. I probably use this phrase too much, but drawing a line through it. We all know he's a rookie. This is the first time he's faced the division leader in the AFC North division, which is a big deal. Not surprised that it didn't go so well for him, and rarely does it ever for a rookie quarterback. We all know the Belichick record when he goes against rookie quarterbacks. It's amazing how bad the rookie quarterbacks perform. So I give him a pass on that one. And this system is 85-45 in two pushes last 35 years. That comes out to 67%. And you're playing against favorites of 3.5 to 10 points after they allowed 30 or more points in the last game. And they're going up against an opponent that trailed by at least 14 points at the half. So that's the bounce back. You know, you basically have both teams bouncing back. Indianapolis was in that high scoring affair last week. And offense will come back down to earth, revert back to the mean. And the same thing with the Bengals bouncing back from a below average performance and playing closer to what their average performance measures are. And when you have that happen, it ends up, this game should be very close throughout. And then maybe a last second field goal by the Bengals wins it.
I agree with you. I couldn't agree more. I like the Bengals bounce back spot here for sure. I think their defense is pretty solid too. I mean, they only let Baltimore score, you know, what, 28 points or something like that? Can't remember exactly.
All relative with them. You know, they didn't give up 50.
Right. So I think they can. And then listen, Phillip Rivers leading the Colts, I don't trust that guy. He can throw a pick to anybody. I could catch a pick from that guy before, you know, 12 yards down the field. I like the Bengals here in this spot. And I know you liked one more game you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, sure. Get the card up here again. The Denver New England game,
which may or may not be played. We still don't know.
Yeah. So let's not do that one, because I'm holding off on as well to release to the subscribers. But
do you like you can just answer this in a simple answer, yes or no. Do you like my Cardinals pick against the Cowboys? I know Sharp Money was on the Cowboys early.
This is a real head scratcher for me, because you mentioned Andy Dalton, and I agree. He is definitely the best backup quarterback in the NFL that's not named Foles, who now is a starter. So that makes Dalton by default the best one. But seriously, I can't back Dallas. So I do like that side with the Arizona Cardinals and a young, swift, elite, quickness quarterback in Murray.
He's going to put up 40 points against these guys. I mean, they're horrible on defense.
And they were supposed to be studs. That's the question. And sometimes I get thinking that, well, maybe they'll get their act together now that they don't have Prescott and they can't rely on him scoring 42 points to win 42-41. I don't know what changes on their defense. They have the middle linebacker is back this week, though, I think.
Vanderesh?
Yeah.
That's fine. They're still garbage.
Right. One guy does not make a difference.
No.
Not at the NFL level.
No, I like the Cardinals. Minus 120 to win the game. And that's one of my Super Contest plays. I played it at minus two in the Super Contest.
Contest, is that the Westgate?
Yeah, so I'm in two. I'm in the Westgate Super Contest, and I'm in the Circa Millions Contest as well.
How are you doing in the Westgate, if you don't mind me asking you on the air?
No, I don't mind at all. I am, I believe, in Westgate. One of the contests, I'm 15 and 10, and one of the contests, I am 15-9-1. So I think Westgate, I'm 15-9-1, and the Millions, I'm 15-10.
Yeah, that's good. You're in good shape there. I usually do this, but because of the COVID, it became a really uncertain situation. You're not in Vegas either. I'm not in Vegas. I'm outside of Philly. But with the getting the picks in using the services, it became too uncertain whether that was going to actually happen.
Yeah, so
What do you say? There's usually like 3,400 entries, or there was last year. I think this year is 1,200. And the reason I know that, I have the last 10 contests, I have every single pick made by every single contestant, and I actually use that now massive database as another area for consensus and sentiment analysis. So simply, I'll pull in the results from last week and sort it by teams or entries that went 5-0 to the number, and also 0-5. So the 5-0s, I then tabulate what their favorite team is that they bet on for this week. So whatever that favorite team is, if it's more than 75% of the picks made on that game for the group that went 5-0, it becomes a contrarian play going against them. As you know yourself in the contest, it's very hard to go 5-0 and 5-0. And usually it's 5-0 and 2-3 or 1-4. And that's just, it's just betting on NFL football. But in having such a large sample size has really given me some great insight on Sunday mornings when I pull that data together from the Westgate. So I think it's great that you're in the contest. We should talk about that every week to see how you're doing if you want.
Absolutely. I went 4-1 in both Super and the Circa Millions last week. So if I maybe put together a 5-0 record, I'll be making some moves like moving day in golf, right? Maybe I'll move up a little bit. But yeah, no, I think I'm like top 300 in Circa at 3,200 or 3,300. And I think I'm like 400 or 500 in the Super Contest. I think there's more than 1,200 entries, but I could be wrong. But I think I'm obviously in the top 30% in both. So we'll see.
Yeah, that's in good shape to make a run at cashing for sure. So you have 3 picks identified now for the contest?
Yeah, I have the Cardinals is 1, 49ers 2, Tampa Bay is 3, Bengals is 4, and my 5th pick is either between the Washington football team or the Detroit Lions.
Listeners, to know that he has to pick these games based on a line that's released on Monday.
It's released Wednesday.
It's released Wednesdays?
And okay. they're static. They don't move.
Right. So my question to you is there any interest in the Tampa Bay, the reverse line movements? Which ones were they? Tampa Bay, Green Bay, and yep. San Fran and the Rams. So the Wednesday line for the – it probably showed the 49ers still favored, maybe?
No. So, no. The line came out Rams -3 or -3.5. So that line, when that came out on Sunday, that's the line that they used in the contest. They used 3. So San Francisco +3 is the line I chose, is the line I had to play in the contest. But the contest with the Green Bay Packers Bucks game is pick 'em. So I had to take Tampa Bay pick 'em. I'm not getting +1.5 in the contest, which the line is currently at.
Okay. I was just thinking, like, you know, so the listeners can understand, too, that sometimes you get an influx of entries all over one team, and it's because of the line movement, or somebody gets hurt.
Correct.
And the, like you said, the line is static. It doesn't change.
Right, and you have a little bit more flexibility this year because picks aren't due until tomorrow, until Saturdays at 2 p.m. Eastern or 3 p.m. Eastern. So there's a little bit more wiggle room with COVID and injuries and things like that. But I think I've already submitted all 5. I think I used the for my 5th pick, I used the Lions in 1 and the football team in the other, because one contest had the Lions at -3 and the other one had -3.5. And in the other contest, and in the other game, the football team, one contest had football team +2.5 and one had +3. So I played the +3 in one contest, and then I played the Lions -3, not -3.5. So my 4 teams, my core 4 teams were the Bengals, the Cardinals, the 49ers, and the Bucks. And then I pivoted between the football team and the Lions because each contest had a different number by a half a point.
Well, the listeners know you're a pretty smart guy now. If they didn't know it before, now that made a lot of sense to me.
So hopefully I scoop all of them and make some moves, because Circa pays out a quarterly cash prize of like $100K. So I went 4-1 last week. It's first week of the quarterly. So if I can hit a 5-0 this week, that would be pretty exciting.
You'll have a lot of friends you didn't know you had.
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
Yeah, that's cool.
And was there one more game you want to talk about?
Yeah, let's talk about one that has a pretty good system here. It is the the Washington football team. I slipped. My bad.
No, I do that all the time. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I was watching games. You can tell I'm a little bit older than Ira, a long time ago, and it was that rivalry that, you know, it's just ingrained in you, and it requires a little bit of time before I stop slipping.
So we have a system that backs my football team this week.
Oh yeah.
Nice. Let's hear it.
And it's a good one. It's an 80%er last 10 years, 36-8 and one push. It's 1-0 this year. You're going to play on all teams where the line is +3.5 to -3.5. So 3.5 points on either side of pick. After the team has 3 or more consecutive losses against the spread, facing an opponent that has 2 or more consecutive wins against the spread. I mean, it sounds ridiculously easy, doesn't it?
Sure does.
You know, like an 80% system, a lot of times I've found with people who are just learning this kind of stuff that it has to be really complicated. You know, you have to do turnover margin, yards per point, you know, all kinds of deeper metrics that I do use on some of my powerful systems that are, you know, hitting 80% as well. But, you know, for listeners, especially the ones that are just getting into the betting field, and trying to make sense of it, these are the easiest ones to track and follow. You don't even need a computer for this. You just need a website that has against the spread results and straight up results, and you just look at what the line is, and wow, that one qualifies. So that's what I try to start out with, some of these more simple ones to track. And again, this is 3.5 points on either side of pick. 3 consecutive losses to the spread, and facing an opponent that has 2 or more consecutive wins against the spread. And what I like about this system is that the Giants stink. They've covered the spread in two games. That alone is not a good situation for a bad team. Washington, not exactly your Super Bowl contender, but I think they are a better team on paper than the Giants. And they're coming off three consecutive losses. You know, you revert back to the mean. That's something that always starts, it's going to be very popular in my conversations with you, Ira. You know, after week eight, it's always revert back to the mean. Teams start going on runs, and the performance measures are getting to levels that just aren't sustainable. And then they have that clunker game.
And this Washington football team. Yeah, and this Washington football team's got a very very solid defense. And I think it's going to wreak havoc on Daniel Jones this weekend. I think Washington wins this game outright as a three-point dog. I think that this defense is going to give them a lot of problems. And I don't think that the Giants are good enough on defense to stop whoever's playing quarterback. It could be Dwayne Haskins. It doesn't matter. It could be me playing quarterback. Just don't see it on the defensive side of the ball for the Giants either. I think the Giants lose this one, and I think the Washington Redskins get the outright victory.
Yeah, it's almost a game like the Falcons and the Vikings. You know, the Falcons are winless. The Giants are winless. But on a neutral field, I would have the Falcons favored by 7.5 over the Giants. It's just two vastly different teams and cultures, really. Washington's 1-4. But they're only one game behind first place Dallas, who lost their quarterback, as we know. I mean, the NFC East is just
it's a clown show, and it's wide open. It's a clown show, and it's wide open. But let me ask you an interesting question. What would you make the point spread on a neutral between the Houston Texans and the Atlanta Falcons?
Oh, man, that's a tough one.
I have my number. I have my number on a neutral.
Houston minus 2.5?
Say that again?
Houston minus 2.5?
Right exactly where I had my number.
Is that right?
Literally 2.5 is what I had in my head.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm glad I'm thinking on the same page.
Right back at you. Anything else before we go for the weekend?
No, that's pretty much it. You know, I have that 10-star release on Georgia. I just, you know, want to make it clear that these things lose 30% of the time instead of emphasizing that they win 70% of the time. And I don't know if this is going to be a winner or not. But over the course of time, if you follow these plays in a disciplined manner, they've done very well over that stretch of time. But just careful with it.
Yeah, guys, if you're not following John on Twitter, you're doing a disservice to yourself. First of all, he's got fantastic information that he posts regarding trends and teams and things like that. It's just fantastic. Also, you know, he's got the subscription. He's doing a great job there. At John Ryan Sports One, as always, I'm at Ira Silver Magic. This is a HoopBall presentation. We're at HoopBall Gaming on Twitter as well. Come follow, join the conversation, banter. All my plays are released for free on the Twitter machine, as always, at Ira Silver Magic. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a good weekend. Let's go win some money, and let's go Georgia Bulldogs. See you later, John. Have a good weekend.
You bet. See you, Ira.
This has been a HoopBall presentation.